than murdered. Other friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of The Call. It is a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Thank you for listening to us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Support Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. Well, it is a Purple Friday preview, and it's been a little while since we've did one of these. We didn't have to do one last week, but the Ravens are up against the Titans going to Nashville this Sunday, and joining them is going to be quarterback Joe Flacco. Joining me, as always, to talk about Joe and everybody else that's going to be up against those Titans, my buddy Josh. What's going on, man?
Dude, man, Purple Friday. I can't wait to get it going. Obviously, I'm not going on this road trip to Nashville, but I will be enjoying this one in, before the bye week. But you're right, man. It's Joe Flacco back at practice, and we had another guest at practice back since week one. It's Danny Woodhead, man.
That's right. And, man, I got to say, Nashville's one of those cities that's on my bucket list of a place I got to go. Maybe Nashville and Chicago are like my two biggest wants right now. But let's talk a little bit about the guys that will be going to Nashville. Joe Flacco came back. They announced Monday that he had no signs of a concussion, no symptoms whatsoever. He returned to practice on Wednesday. Are you shocked at all? I mean, we've all seen the hit. We've talked about the hit. Are you shocked that he was able to bounce back so quickly?
I mean, I am and I'm not. I mean, like he said, it looked more vicious than it was. Obviously, he had the symptoms, but I'm just really happy that he's dealing with it in the right manner, in the right way, and the protocols end up being good for him, and he's followed that to a T, and I'm just excited that he's unfazed by it, as he said. I mean, he's tough as nails, man. It reminds me of a Ben Roethlisberger type in the AFC North, man. He gets hit and he gets down, unless you hit his knee and tear his knee apart like he happened at one year. He just takes hit after hit and stands in a pocket and just it takes it. And you fear for a running back or a quarterback who runs like that and gets walloped. I'm just happy that he's really shown the signs of improvement and returning back to practice. No signs of it, man. Like we discussed last week, the concussion symptoms can flare up at any point, but I'm just happy to hear that right now he's back at practice along with fellow Woodhead, man. It's awesome.
Yeah, and he doesn't seem fazed at all. He said like he's not worried if there's going to be a suspension, which we know there isn't now. He doesn't care if there's going to be a fine. He's ready. He's moving on. He's thinking about the Titans. And he said, you know what? This is football. These things happen. So besides Joe, I got to say I'm a little surprised at the long list of people that didn't participate in practice or that were limited in practice because the Ravens are coming off a pretty long break. Like we said, the last game was over a week ago at this point. It was a Thursday night game. So between games, they're going to have 10 days off. And we have quite a few players that didn't practice or were limited. Are you shocked at that? I mean, some guys like to say this is like a mini bye week.
It was, and like I said, you got to take advantage of it. I mean, bye weeks are usually 14 days, 2 weeks. We had 10 days. I mean, you're missing 4 days, but you're right. You take advantage of the many bye weeks when you can. And again, not to sound repetitive, but as we discussed before, if it was a Sunday-to-Sunday game, he probably wouldn't really be playing. But because we got that advantage of that mini bye week, we can get some guys healthy. And Woodhead's return to practice, albeit he's not eligible to play until Green Bay, but we're just starting to see the Ravens getting healthy at the right time. And how about the rest of the NFL not getting healthy at the right time? As, you know, looking at the scope of things with the Titans game coming up and the next two opponents, I mean, you already know, looking into the future and the crystal ball, no Aaron Rodgers for Green Bay in 2 weeks. But how about the big news today breaking on the NFL? Deshaun Watson, who's having a baller year, is out for the year with a torn ACL. Non-contact injury in practice, man. They have to feel for the kid. I'm very sorry to hear that. And I own him in two fantasy leagues. And, you know, it just sucks because he was just killing it week after week. week, and DeAndre Hopkins, and now you look at the scope of things, it gets set up nicely where you're right. When the Ravens play one game in the next 23 days, you know, it's the Titans game. You want to stay healthy and stay clean, and if they can do to ensue so and get everybody back and for the November and December run, who's to say the Ravens can't push for a wild card spot? As crazy as this season's been and up and down, but they got to take care against the Titans. I mean, they pose a huge threat and to ruin those plans for us, man. I mean, they got the running game and DeMarco Murray and Derrick Henry, man. Those guys are bruisers, and it's going to be a tough test up at the front line, which I'm happy to know that we got Brandon Williams back in plenty of time for this matchup.
Absolutely. And like you said, Danny Woodhead, also a guy who returned to practice. He is not eligible until week 11. But let me ask you, I mean, we talked about it. We were tweeting about it during that Miami game, that you give Joe playmakers and he makes things happen. We saw that with that amazing Macklin throw and catch to a touchdown. But Danny Woodhead coming in, I got to think about how that is going to affect Alex Collins. What's your opinion on that? What is going to happen to Alex Collins, who really didn't have a spot on this roster until Danny Woodhead got hurt?
I don't think it's going to change much as far as Collins' playing ability, obviously, on the field, but his playing time, because he's going to be the starter. It's not going to be Danny Woodhead. Danny Woodhead's going to be that third down back, that passing back, maybe spell Collins for a few plays here or there to really hone in on a breath of fresh air for what Collins can provide. And I feel like this is going to be a good 1-2 punch, and it's welcomed. Everybody's fearing that Woodhead is going to take snaps. Woodhead isn't a every down back like a Collins. He's not going to be a hard-nosed runner like Collins. As you see, the way we use Buck Allen is the way we're going to use Danny Woodhead, and we're going to keep recycling these players out and keep them fresh. And it helps us in the long run because of the lack of receiving weapons. It helps because Danny Woodhead, dude, he was killing it on that first drive in Cincinnati, wasn't he?
He was, absolutely. And you know what's really funny is I was listening to an interview that was on 98 Rock, a local station around here, and they were talking about how Danny Woodhead, he played, one series of plays, four plays, and he has more completions than Breshad Perriman does this season?
Right. That's crazy, isn't it? And I've been saying that all along. I mean, it just shows you, you know, Joe's outlet. He has he misses his rival tight end with Heap and El gone for, you know, obviously several seasons now. And then Pitta, you know, coming into the forefront for the last few years, and then now he's gone. Joe's missed that, you know, security blanket, and Joe loves his tight ends. And without that, he relies on that bailout play, the check down. I hate to say it, but, you know, it's good for when Woodhead comes out of backfield, send the receivers deep, and he can clear space, fits his own play, get where the linebackers are, you know, create the mismatches where it be. But, I mean, Woodhead, shifty, small, if he can stay healthy for the remainder of the year, it's going to be a huge boost for us, man.
Yeah, absolutely. So, looking at just this Sunday's game up against Tennessee, the Ravens offense has definitely been relying on Alex Collins a lot, and they're relying on him to get the running game going. Terrence West did not practice on Wednesday, so it looks like Terrence West is going to miss yet another game. But the Titans' run defense is very good. They, you know, they're kind of under the radar a little bit. So what are the Ravens going to do offensively to battle that? Because if the Titans' run defense is good and Alex Collins can't get a lot of yards, that means Joe is going to be going after the passing game. And the passing game, I mean, let's face it, has not been solid this year.
No, it hasn't been, and it's been so inconsistent with the lack of playmakers on the docket. I mean, you know, again, you have to have the playmakers in there, but with the play calling, with not converting on third down, with not running the routes, especially with catching wide open balls. I mean, how many times did the receiver run a crisp route, Joe put it there, and the receiver just dropped it? And you can't catch the ball off your body. You have to catch it with your two hands that you're given as a receiver, and it's huge. You have to make the plays, and I think we've been lacking there, and I think that's why now we're relying more on Alex Collins for the offensive throw through and the flow through. And I think you're going to see that, especially with Woodhead coming back, the focus is going to be on the running game. And I feel like a running game is utterly important to set up the pass play action. It's going to free up a lot of plays for us. It takes almost half your playbook out of the question when you can't run the ball because you can't play action, you can't fool the defense. And if they know you can only throw it, they're going to sit back there and pick us apart.
And luckily, Mike Wallace, he returned to practice on Wednesday. He was a full participant, so it looks like Joe's going to get Mike Wallace back. And, of course, he missed the game due to a concussion due to a concussion that he got in the Minnesota game. But then you have Jeremy Maclin, who is limited in practice. He's still dealing with the shoulder injury. So that leaves Breshad Perriman being the only healthy guy right now practicing. So how do you get the passing game going with potentially, you know, Jeremy Maclin, who Joe has been really comfortable throwing to? What if he misses another game with an injury? Like, how do you get past that? Is it possible to get past that with an injured, potentially, Mike Wallace and a Breshad Perriman?
It's hard to, man. I mean, Breshad Perriman, I almost don't even want to talk about him and bring him up, because what relevance has he brought to this offense? I mean, it's embarrassing, and you got to move on from it. And I feel like we have to rely on a Chris Moore or a Campanera. I mean, everybody was up in arms that Griffin only got let go because he had reliable hands. He was the only guy that was catching in Minnesota. But I feel like you can't rely on these guys. You got to have Maclin healthy. You got to have Wallace healthy. And I feel like these two guys are going to carry the load. If we're not going to go anywhere this year, it's because of the receiving force hurt and decimated injuries. Again, you can't replace Nyanda. You can't replace a lot of these guys that have been hurt this year on the IR, you know, up and down the list. But I feel like they can get past that, and it'll be okay. I mean, you just got to, you know, we got to keep healthy. I mean, we can only go as far as the receivers, you know, take us. And you've seen again what Thursday night brought, man. The throw to Maclin, I can revert back to it. We would have won in Minnesota if we had a Mike Wallace or Maclin out there. I mean, it just, the offense looked lost. And then you look at what happened in Oakland. You know, first play, 52-yard bomb right to Wallace. Of all of our big plays this year, I feel like it's Maclin or Wallace that have been involved. It doesn't seem that way.
Yeah, it absolutely does. And I mean, Chris Moore wasn't really getting anything going until all these injuries happened, and he was the guy they kind of turned to. Like you said, Griff Whalen, he was let go. He's no longer a part of the team. But Michael Campanero and Chris Matthews both did not participate in practice this week. Doesn't look like either guys will be playing. Michael Campanero aggravated an injury he got in the Steelers game in Minnesota. So it looks like Campanero isn't going to be out on the field. So hopefully we have Maclin, and it looks like Wallace is going to be there with Joe. But to me, it seems like this Titans defense is really going to have a time with the Ravens, and they're going to shut down the run. It seems like that's going to be their game plan, making Joe throw. And it'll be good if we have a guy like Max Williams who returned to practice, so Joe can get one of the kind of those short passes off to him, because when Joe's pressured like that, he likes to throw that short pass instead of stretching the field.
He does, and I mean, now you don't want to scratch it out of a playbook. I get very frustrated with the check down Charlie offense.
Yeah,
there are times where it has to happen, because maybe, you know, you have to beat the blitz and you can do it the right way. But I feel like it's a chess match how football is in the play calling. If you call it against the right defense, it looks brilliant. But don't be calling it against the flat zone and a two-man deep, and they're sitting in the flats waiting for it, and you throw it, then linebackers just eat them for lunch, and you're like, why are we throwing passes for a two-yard loss? And I feel like, you know, if that's the game plan, we're going to have a long day in Tennessee. We need to attack down the field. Again, north and south, not east and west. We better not be running it, you know, running plays that go, oh, let's throw it 10 yards across the field, and then the receiver's got to go, you know, left and right, then up. We got to call the vertical pass plays. And I feel like if we don't get off to a good start there and call the right plays, dude, it's going to be a long, long day. Because then we're going to go, okay, here's the inept offense again, and right back to it. And then we're going to be calling from Marty's head during the bye week. So I feel like we cannot do that.
Yeah, and Brian Billick was on the NFL Network earlier today and said this is probably the biggest game of the season for both teams, because both teams are kind of sitting at the same spot. The Ravens are 4-4, the Titans are 4-3. There's a good chance that these guys are going to be fighting for one of the wild card spots come playoff time, depending on how the rest of the season goes. But, you know, what do you think? Is this as important as a playoff implication game for this team? Because you know, if I'm the actually, I shouldn't say that. The Ravens are going to also have a hard time, because they're going to be looking past the Titans at that sweet bye week and having a couple days off. Like, tell me what you first. Let's just tell me, what are your thoughts on this game? Is this the biggest game of the season?
Right now, it is. It comes down to it's November. It's the first game in November. We're 8-8, so here comes the second, second half of the season. We've already passed the first half. We're already in week. I can't believe it's week 9, right? Wow, yeah. It's crazy. And week 9 of 17 in the NFL, we have 8 more games left. We know it's at stake what we have to do. Realistically, if you want to really look at the whole picture and get away from focusing game on game, 9-7 maybe gets in the playoffs as a wild card, how it's watered down and how it's looking. This is huge for both teams. Not only that, because like we said in the onset, Deshaun Watson being out is huge because the Ravens play them on Monday night, the end of this month, Thanksgiving weekend. But not only that, but if you look at the standings in AFC South, Tennessee and Jacksonville are tied at 4-3. Jacksonville has a tiebreaker on us. We're 4-4. And, Houston's right now at 3-4. So without their star quarterback and doing things down there in Houston, it's just – it creates a lot of windows of opportunity here for us. And this is huge because it's huge for the Titans because to improve them to 5-3 would be huge. And if we get to 5-4 at the break, not all hope is lost. And I feel like they're right there. I mean, you look at Pittsburgh and us, we're 4-4, Pittsburgh 6-2. If Pittsburgh can lose a game here and there, and if we have one more to boot in December at their place, I'm not scared of that game, because we'll get to that obviously later down the road. But I just look at it, it's huge because the Ravens, they fall to 4-5, they're done. I feel like if they're going to make any sort of push for a hope for a P word right here, I feel like this is the game. Go win this one. Get off the bye week. Get on the positive side of 500 and let's go. And I mean, and like we covered it, we play 2 consecutive games after the bye week, 1 away, 1 at home against backup quarterbacks. And I know you're going to agree with me here. Oh, well, we played a backup quarterback, and Trubisky, rookie, came in, and he won in the game in overtime. Oh, we played a backup quarterback in Minnesota, and we lost. Oh, we played this. Oh, we played that. And it's just not going to work out that way. Take it game by game. But this game, because of the weapons that Tennessee has, this is huge for both teams, man. Huge.
Absolutely. Can't say it enough. And let me go back to this, too. If you're the Ravens, how do you not look past Tennessee and go, man, I got a vacation coming up. I just got to get through this game. Because I know when I got a vacation coming up and I'm at work, I am counting down the minutes, the hours, the days until I can actually go on vacation and be on the beach or something like that. So how do you not get, looking past the team in your head?
You got to have the mental focus to know what's at stake. And teams, especially the Ravens, always do that. They always, oh, well, we want to go next week, or we want to get to the next opponent, or we want to get there. You got to focus. And at this point, it's a game-by-game basis because they no longer have the ability to look for a bigger picture. They need help. So they not only need to win, but they need help outside. They can't control their own fate at this point. They also need a few losses by other teams to right the ship and close the gap. They can't – everybody gets like that. I get like that at work. You're right. Now, how many times you're sitting there and it's Christmas week or it's Christmas Eve and you're at work and it's like, okay, when's the clock run out? Or it's Thanksgiving Eve and you're at work on a Wednesday and you're like, okay, let's go. I got a long weekend. It happens all the time, every time. We're human. We want to do that. We get lazy. We look past, but you have to stay focused at the task at hand and know what's at stake. Every game right now, essentially a playoff game, because the window gets closer and closer, being 8 games left after this week, it's 7. Then you go on a bye week, and then you go to Lambeau at 6, and then you got 5 games, and you're talking – we have 3 games this month with the bye week. Then you're talking December football. Then you're talking, we got to start winning there. I mean, you have 5 games in December, 3 in this month. I mean, again, I tweeted it earlier with the injuries. There's no reason why this team can't be 7-4 facing the Lions at home in the first weekend in December, then going to Pittsburgh. But, not to get ahead of ourselves here, got to take care of this because we just talked about the struggles with the Ravens against backups. But and the flip side, we didn't have Brandon Williams in those games. We have him now. Alex Collins is becoming the beast of his own right. We have, hopefully, Macklin and Wallace getting healthier. Flacco shook off the concussion. We're getting pieces back. Woodhead's coming back. We're getting pieces back that were out for the beginning of the season. And if we can overcome these, there's still hope. I'm not going to sit here on my soapbox, Brandon, and preach hope that, oh, because this team's been inconsistent. I've been having great discussions on social media today about, with Watson going down and you have to win these games. And, oh, my God, they can't not be less than 7-4. again, there's an inconsistent team and we don't know their identity. But what happens here is you have to stay focused on the Titans. They got Murray. They got Walker. They got Mariota. They got Henry. They got weapons, and we need to stop them. And all week, the Titans' focus is going to be stopping Collins, and that's what they've been talking about. I was on the website reviewing some tidbits. The Titans were going off on how to stop Collins, and they're going to see how Flacco is. They're going to say, okay, their game plan is we're going to eliminate your guy Collins. We're going to make Joe Flacco, who's coming off concussion with the inconsistent receiver play, we're going to make you beat us in the air, and we're going to see. And I think this is going to be a slug-out, drug-out defensive fight.
Absolutely. And with it being a defensive fight, you brought up Brandon Williams and how he's making his return. He's still – I don't know. What do you think? With what you've seen from Brandon Williams since returning from his injury, have you seen any kind of rust from him? Is he still getting into game shape, in your opinion?
No, I don't see any rust whatsoever. I mean, you've seen how he was dancing with being Alvin at the Halloween thing, man. That video was great, by the way. He provides that personality, the breath fresh air. From what I've seen, I mean, he was disruptive in the backfield ever since he came back, blew up a few plays. Now, I don't see any signs of slowness. Again, he was missed solely and huge, you know, up the middle, and it frees up Mosley. And I feel like Mosley wouldn't have made the play he would have if Williams was out. Reverting back, and again, I'm not comparing this team to 2000 like we were in preseason when this defense was nasty, but Ray Lewis always alluded to, you know, when Sam Adams was up front, Siragusa was up front, Rob Burnett, McCrary were doing their thing. He goes, it allowed the linebackers to roam free. It allowed them to do what they do. It happened here in the later days of their career when Holodinata was up front. We had some of the big boys up front. When they take apart a couple linemen as focus, and you have to focus in on Brandon, where's Brandon Williams at? Where's Suggs? Where's Mosley? When that happens, the linebackers get freed up because they take up space on the line. When you have backups and when you don't have big guys who are all pros and got paid like one, like Brandon Williams did, they're going to take it easy and go, okay, and then we're going to go after the quarterback. And it's just and we're going to go after that. And it doesn't bode well on the line, is my point. And I feel like Brandon Williams hasn't lost a step from what I've observed and seen. I'd love to hear from anybody else who's seen anything differently. But right now, it all rides on the trenches, man. We got to keep Joe clean, and we have to hold the lines and put pressure on Mariota, because if we let him back there, man, and let him look like a Pro Bowl All-Star and throw 4, 5, 6 touchdowns, dude, I don't know what. But our secondary is going to be our strongest point, and Jimmy Smith's playing out of his mind. We have Weddle. We have Jefferson. It's going to be a fight to see on defense, man. That's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for those matchups. And especially covering Delaney Walker down in the tight end position up the seams.
And Jimmy Smith, he's been missing practice due to an Achilles injury, but it's been something he's been playing through, and it's nothing. I don't think it's anything to be worried about missing practice, because he's been missing practice almost every week just because they want him to take it easy on the Achilles for, you know, a certain amount of time. So I don't think we have anything to be concerned about there with Jimmy Smith missing any time. But there is one guy who did not participate, Mike Pierce, on the defense. What's your thoughts on him if he doesn't play? Like, he was the guy that was taking Brandon Williams' spot when he was out, and the two of them that working together, I mean, you put them together, I don't feel like anybody is going to be able to get through that giant, I don't even know what to call these guys, the giant mountain that is Pierce and Brandon Williams. But since he didn't practice, do you think it's worrisome that it might be Brandon Williams by himself out there?
It might be. I really hope Pierce plays. I haven't seen any. I know he's been limited and held out, but I don't see anything that he would miss the game. If he would, it's gonna be a huge gap there, because, again, with the bye week coming up, you want him to play. If they're severe, maybe get by with resting. Maybe we can escape with the win, then heal him up in 2 weeks coming to Lambeau, going to Lambeau Field. I feel like at this point, the season's on the line, or could be on the line, if you even want to have a glimmer of a playoff hope at this point. If they're good to, if they're good enough to go, if this was a playoff game, pull the trigger and let's do it. Because I feel like if you sit there and tiptoe around it, or if they're iffy to go again, I don't, you know, what the team doctors are discussing, I don't know what the players are going through and what pain it is and what injury. But I've always lived by my one of my favorite NBA players' mantra. Allen Iverson's always said, could play through pain, not injury. And if you're not injured, you better get your butt out in that field and perform, because, you know, hey, suck it up. There's meds, you know, you can take. There's adrenaline. You know, how many times you've seen it, me covering hockey so much. How many times you see hockey players out there with injuries they do, and they're out there skating around having a game, and it's just, again, you don't want to overexert yourself. Like, yeah, you don't want to play with a tear or something that'll, you know, further injure your career or jeopardize that, but at the same time, you just have to really call it what it is. And I feel like if Pierce is any sort of limited, ready to go, he should be out there. But, you know, bye week coming up, it's going to be iffy.
Yeah, and two other guys that were limited in practice, and then we'll kind of give our predictions. Ronnie Stanley and Ryan Jensen, those are other two big bodies there to protect Joe. They were limited in practice. There's no word on if they're going to miss anything or not. But the two of them, like, if one of them is out or if both of them are out, I mean, the running game is dead at that point, right?
Of course it is, because it changes the whole philosophy of how you have to play call and scheme, and you do it with these guys there, and then when you have somebody that misses their lane or block, it just throws everything out of whack, man. It's the same. If you put everybody in there and the cogs and the oil machine and it goes, but when you it's the same thing in passing game, any game, defense, special teams, you have one or two guys missing, guys miss assignments, don't know what they're out there, they didn't practice with the squad all week, and they don't know. And that's why it sucks, because you don't know anymore. You don't have the plug-and-play players where plug them in and it doesn't matter, next man up. Now it's like you can really tell the difference now.
Yeah, and it would suck to lose either of those players. Ronnie Stanley's had an absolutely amazing season, and you don't really hear his name a lot, which is a good thing for his position. That means, you know, he's not missing plays or anything like that. Ryan Jensen, you know, I said it during the Miami games, first time I really liked him. Some people are saying he may be the franchise center for this team. I don't know about that, but I liked what he did sticking up for Joe in that Miami game. He's a good agitator. But Josh, let's talk about it. What's your prediction for this game? Are you thinking the Ravens are going to win? Are they going to lose? What's your thoughts?
Now, I think I'm going to give them some credit. You know, I'm going to say the momentum carries. They know it's at stake. I feel like the Ravens could really steal this one on the road and take the win. I'm going to call a Ravens win 23-20 on this one.
23-20. All right. I like that. I think it's going to be a Ravens win. I agree with you on that. There's no reason why this team shouldn't be able to beat the Titans. But with some of these injuries, I think it might be pretty close. It might not be as high scoring. So I'm going to say it's probably going to be maybe like 13-10.
That's a pretty good score indeed, man. That's a good prediction.
All right, so Josh, for this Purple Friday preview, have we covered everything?
Brother, we covered this one, quoth the Raven, nevermore.
All right, guys, if you want to continue the conversation with Josh or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at BrandoCash. Josh, where can people tweet to you at?
They can always tweet to me at ItalianGQ52.
Or go over to our Facebook page, facebook.com/thecallpodcast. Like us over there. Whenever a new show comes out, you'll be the first to know. And we're always sharing cool stuff about the Ravens, about Baltimore. Anything you really need is going to be right there on our Facebook page. Now, we do the show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on iTunes, Stitcher, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Write us an iTunes review, and then go on social media and let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat, anywhere you are social on the web with your phone. Say, I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan. I listen to The Call, and you should too. So that's pretty much it for the show this week, this Purple Friday preview. Josh, take us out the way you always do.
Always, man. Brandon, thank you so much. I wanted to ask you, man, how was your Halloween?
Halloween was actually, it was all right. I had to go to work like everybody else, but it was really quiet in my neighborhood on Halloween. I had maybe 10 trick-or-treaters, but let me tell you this. Brandon doesn't know how to give out candy correctly, because he gave out like half the bucket for the first four kids and then had to dip into his own stash of Rice Krispie treats for his lunch to give out to the last couple kids.
Oh, geez, would you get too over-generous?
I think I did. I was like, there's nobody going to be around here. You can have all this.
Man.
And then
sorry, the last few kids really got a trick.
Hey, at least I didn't give out raisins, which I almost did because I had some extra ones.
Don't be that guy. But, I'm just glad it was good. Yeah, it was quiet for me, too. I didn't really do much. I work both jobs, obviously, watching the World Series. But I want to do give a shout-out, man. How about the Houston Astros doing it for the city of Houston? What a wild ride. 7 games it took. L.A. and Houston, respectively. Man, what a great series. I don't know if you were into it much, Brandon, but you have to tip your hat, man. And I said it today. How about an awesome thing when Katrina hit the South and the Saints won the Super Bowl? The Boston tragedy happened with the Marathon. Red Sox win the World Series. And then how about Houston doing it for the city of Houston, man? Isn't that incredible?
Absolutely. Congratulations to the Houston Astros. It was a great series. I'm not a huge baseball fan, so I didn't follow it all the way through. But, I mean, the fact that they played, 5.5 hours of baseball – that's insane. So it really was a fun series. Probably one of the best series that we've seen in our lifetime.
Absolutely, man. It was a very great series indeed. And I just revert back to a lot of games. I know last year's was special. Cleveland all being 3-1, blowing the lead. The Cubs winning in extra innings in Game 7 to break the 108-year-old streak. And they did it. And the Cubbies did it last year. Houston, first-time champs, did this year. And how about Sports Illustrated calling the champions, man? 2 years ago, they put out on the cover saying Houston's going to win the World Series in 2 years in 2017, and they did it.
They did that. That's kind of spooky. So, let's ask them when the Caps are going to win the Stanley Cup then.
Or Ravens win the Super Bowl, or the Orioles win the World Series again. I don't know. It's going to be fun to see. But just to break it down real quick to wrap up the show, and I have NFL Network here waiting for the Thursday game. They just showed a playoff picture, man. And just to break it down, they just said, of course, we're in the hunt column, but the sixth playoff spot goes to Jacksonville at 4-3. That's how close we are. So this is why I kind of go back and forth on the positive, negative. It's the inconsistent. Like, yeah, I want to believe in them. Oh, they let us down. And this is why I get so fired up, because we're right there. The AFC this year, with it being so watered down, so mediocre. Yeah, the Steelers are 6-2. Yeah, the Bills are 5-2. Yeah, the Patriots are 5-2. Bill Parcells always said, you are what your record says you are. Yes, the Ravens are a 500 team, which bodes them very well because they're inconsistent. 1 week, they, like I said, two out of half their wins right now this season have been two huge blowouts, one on the road, one at home. And you just never find it. They had a good game against the Browns. They had a solid game against the Raiders. And then they just couldn't put together in the other four games. And they got blew out two of them. So blew out, two blowout wins, two blowout losses. The rest are kind of flip a coin. They could have won either game. You know, but with the Jacksonville Jaguars owning the tiebreaker, they're a half game above us, or basically a whole game because of the tiebreaker. But they had the bye week already at 3-4. And that's why they're 3-4. But that's why I wanted to point out, if the Ravens can just take this game by game and get through this month, it's all right there for them, and they can do it, and they can do it well. And I just want to wrap it up. You know, thank you to all who supported this year. It's been great, you know, going to the games, tweeting, texting, Facebook, and it's been awesome. Stick with us. Always, there's going to be more in store this year. It's going to be special. It's going to be a good ride. We have a lot of home games left. We have a lot of games left. We're halfway through the season. Cherish every game, every moment. Enjoy the ride. Tennessee, here we come. Baltimore Ravens, let's fly.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to BrandoCash.com.